The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter number 26, Text number 22, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 3rd, 2010, in New Delhi, India.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto number 3. Chapter number 26, text number 22.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sachatvam Abhikaritvam Shantatvam Michitetasa Vrittibir Lakshanam Proktam Yathapam Prakriti Para Sachatvam Abhikaritvam Shantatvam Michichetasa Pritibir Lakshanam Proktam Yathapam Prakriti Para.
Translation and purport by the Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. After the manifestation of the Mahatattva, these features appear simultaneously as water in its natural state before coming in contact with earth is clear, sweet, and unruffled. So the characteristic traits of pure consciousness are complete serenity, clarity, and freedom from distraction. The pure status of consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, exists in the beginning, just after creation. Consciousness is not polluted. The more one becomes materially contaminated, however, the more consciousness becomes obscured. In pure consciousness, one can perceive a slight reflection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As in clear, unagitated water, free from impurities, one can see everything clearly, so in pure consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, one can see things as they are. One can see the reflection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one can see his own existence as well. This state of consciousness is very pleasing, transparent, and sober. In the beginning, consciousness is pure.
Shri Guru, Shri Jata Parakamala, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathan Vita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parija Vajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha.
It's pretty sweet. Pure consciousness. Really, really sweet. But as soon as consciousness starts to become polluted, that sweetness is transformed into bitterness. So, what do you prefer? Do you prefer sweetness or bitterness? We have a choice. We can taste the sweetest pleasure at every minute, or we can suffer the most bitter, hellish, nightmarish condition, if that's what we prefer. Human life means you have a choice. The animals are forced into bitterness. They are slaves of the material modes of nature. They must act in this way. They are constantly fearful. There's not a moment of peace. But the human being, he can taste actual peace. If he is willing to purify his consciousness to bring it back to its original pure state. It requires a little faith, because normally we are running after rajasic happiness, which is instantly pleasing. That pathway of pure consciousness is a bit austere in the beginning. It doesn't appear to be very sweet when one begins it. It appears to be bitter, while rajasic pleasure appears to be sweet. So, to actually take this pathway of purifying the consciousness, one requires the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, the guidance of bona fide sadhus, the guidance of bona fide scriptures to do what? Give one the vision of what one can achieve by performing the austerities. Srila Prabhupada has given us vision of what lies ahead if we follow this pathway of bhakti. It appears to be very difficult in the beginning. Yattadagre visham eva pariname mritopamam statsukam satvikam proktam atmabuddhi prasadajam. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number 37. That which in the beginning may be very, very bitter like poison, but in the end becomes sweeter than the sweetest honey. Right. So that which in the beginning may be very bitter like poison, but in the end becomes the sweetest nectar, and which awakens one to realization of the actual self, is described as being happiness in the mode of goodness. Actually, it is commonly experienced by any intelligent person. It is called Shreya and Preya. That which is immediately pleasurable and that which is ultimately pleasurable. Rajasic happiness is immediately pleasurable and sattvic happiness is ultimately pleasurable. So I know in my youth, I attended one high school in Houston, Texas. And the weather was very muggy and hot, especially in the month of May. And there was no air conditioning. I don't know if they have air conditioning here. Probably don't here either. But now in America, all the schools are air conditioned. But in those days, they weren't. So in the month of May was rather tough, especially in the afternoon. Around the fifth period in the physics class, it was a little tough to sit there and take it. So some of our classmates, they said, why should I sit in the school and suffer? I will drop out of school. I'll get a job at the gasoline station and I'll buy a hot rod car and I'll have fun in my hot rod car. Vroom, 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 vroom. So they would bring their hot rod cars outside the high school during the middle of fifth period physics class. And they would make a big show for all of the students that I'm out here enjoying ha 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 while you're there in fifth period suffering in the muggy heat. So they were enjoying, they were laughing and ha 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 enjoying their hot rod ride up and down that street in front of the high school, you see. But 10 years later, where are they? They're still working at that stupid gas station making minimum wage. And those students who did the austerity of enduring fifth period physics class, now they have college degrees, they're working in some air-conditioned office somewhere with a fatty salary, you see. So the idea is that if something is really valuable, in the beginning you have to do some tapa. Now tapa is worth it because in the end you get very good reward. So that is like happiness in the mode of goodness, you see. It's poison in the beginning and nectar at the end. So Krishna consciousness means there is some tapa. We are addicted to sense gratification. The senses are craving sense gratification in all varieties. And now we have to say no to the senses. The senses are saying, give me this, give me that, give me, give me, give me. And we say, no senses, you cannot have it. Sense is like a little child crying, wah, I want it, but I can't have it. Wah. See, the senses are crying. You see. But there are two kinds of parents. One parent indulges the child. Whatever he wants, let him have it. You see. Don't let the child always be smiling and laughing. Whatever he wants, let him have it. The other parent gives the child only what is good for the child and does not give the child what is not good for the child. I know some of you know the story that Prabhupada has given. There was one boy, his parents were not there, so he was raised by his aunt. And his aunt was very, very lenient. Whatever you want to do, my dear nephew, you can do. Just have fun, enjoy life. You can do whatever you like. You see. So, without any proper guidance from his aunt, he fell into asat sangha, bad company, you see. Gunda class. And he became murderer. So, the government caught him. They put him on trial and now he is going to be hanged. And so his aunt came to attend the hanging. And he told the authorities, can you please let me have one private word with my aunt? I want to whisper something in her ear. This is my final death wish. He said, all right. So the aunt came and he bit the aunt's ear off. People were shocked. Why have you done this? You bit the ear of your aunt. How you can do this? Is your final wish? You want to bite your aunt's ear? Why have you done this? He said, yes, because she never disciplined me. She let me do whatever I want, and now because of her negligence of not properly training me, now I have committed murder, and now I'm going to be hanged, and it's her fault. Therefore, I've bitten her ear very severely, you see. So, to take some austerity, this is very good. And what does Bhagavad Gita say austerity is? It is the wealth of the Brahmins. For the Vaishya, what is the wealth? Rupees, crores, lakhs and crores of rupees. See, that is the wealth for the Vaishyas. And the wealth of the Kshatriya, political power, you see. And the wealth of the Brahmins, austerity. You see. They love austerity. They love to deny their senses. So they can become more chaste and more pure in the service of Krishna. They relish it. They get flavor from that. They enjoy fasting on the fast days, you see. They enjoy taking only Krishna Prasad and not anything not offered to Krishna. These austerities, they give up illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling. They relish these austerities. Of rising early in the morning, taking bath, coming to the Mangal Arti, either at the temple or observing it at home. They relish these austerities, you see. Because they know the result of doing this austerity is I'm going to achieve the supreme perfection of consciousness. So Brahma Yoga Yogtatma Sukham Akshayam Ashnute. Such a liberated soul is not attracted by material sense pleasure. Why? Because he's relished in the pleasure within. In this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness. Why? Because he concentrates on Krishna, the Supreme. So those things which attract the mind, which are not Krishna conscious, he chops them off. No. I will no longer feast my eyes on the body of beautiful young girls. That will no longer be my object of enjoyment. You see. Now I will feast my eyes on the beautiful form of Sri Shivada and Krishna. That beautiful young girl, she'll become an old, ugly old woman tomorrow anyway. But Krishna, he becomes more beautiful and more beautiful and more beautiful. Navi Yovanam. He is an ever fresh youth. Just imagine, normally we pick a flower, we offer it to Krishna, and it's very fresh, fragrant flower. Especially the gardenias, they are very, very aromatic, gardenia flowers. I remember the first time I went to a big temple, I went to the Los Angeles Temple, Watsika Avenue. This was back in 1971. And they had gardenias everywhere. You walk into the temple room, you thought you're entering into Svargalok. I mean, it was just, it was unbelievably heavenly atmosphere, those gardenias. But a gardenia of this world, it'll rot and lose its aroma after some time. It becomes some dried up, useless garbage after some time. But just imagine a gardenia, you pick that gardenia, and the longer you hold it in your hand, it becomes more beautiful and more fragrant, more fresh for all of eternity. That is Krishna, you see. Therefore, Krishna meditation never becomes hackneyed, dry, or boring, or dull. This is one great appreciation I have of our Indra Prabhu. When he reintroduced the 24-hour kirtan in Vrindavan, did he think, well, we have to go on for 24 hours, we don't want to get it boring, so we'll get out the Vaishnava songbook and we'll just keep going through all the different songs so nobody gets bored? Did he think like that? No. Indra Prabhu knew that there is unlimited nectar in the Hare Krishna mantra. We don't need to shift songs every 20 minutes to keep everybody alive. You know, we've done enough Hare Krishna, we've got to do something else now, Nitai Gaur or this and that, you know, so everybody stays enlivened. No. 24 hours of nothing but Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Day after day, week after week, year after year, for all of eternity. And I'm sure he's still chanting the kirtan. Wherever he is now, or Indra, he's still going on with that Hare Krishna. I see. Because there's unlimited juice. Unlimited juice. I was explaining the other day, there's a wonderful verse by Rupa Goswami describing this nectar. Tunde tandavali vitin vitanute tundavali labdiye. Karna krodha kadambani gatayate kunar bude vijaspriham cheta prangana sangani vijayate savendriyanam kritim no jane janita kriyadvir amitai krishneti varnadvai. Rupa Goswami is saying, I do not know how much nectar is contained in these two syllables, Krishna. Because when I say Krishna, it doesn't just vibrate on my tongue, it dances on my tongue. You see? When that nama is dancing on my tongue, so ecstatic. I just want to have millions of tongues so I can get the nectar, more of that nectar. And then when those names enter the holes of my ears, oh, it's so nectarian. I need millions and trillions of ears to capture that nectar of the name. You see? And then when those names enter these kurjat of my heart, they dance. The nam dances in the kurjat of my heart. My mind becomes completely conquered and I am stunned in wonder. So just imagine how much nectar is there in Krishna. Just imagine some big gulab jamun. Then when you bite into it, so much gulab jamun juice squirts out that it fills up the whole universe and it bursts through the coverings of the universe. Well, Prabhus and Matajis, you have that gulab jamun, Krishna. You have that gulab jamun. So just try to relish this holy name. So many people write me, I have this e-course, I have 12,000 people on my e-course, and I get a lot of letters every day. It's a lot of work, but it's pretty sweet work. Spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world by traveling and by cyber traveling. So one question I'm often asked is, well, you know, I'm chanting, but I'm not tasting the nectar. I'm not tasting the nectar. Well, I tell them, instead of trying to taste the nectar, that means you want the name to serve you, you see. Come on, name, give me some pleasure. That's not the move. The devotee wants to give pleasure. He's not for taking pleasure. He wants to give pleasure. That is devotee. Karmi wants to take pleasure. Devotee wants to give pleasure. So let me chant Hare Krishna in such a way that Krishna is pleased by my chanting. Just imagine some boy, you know, he has a girlfriend, he wants He's wooing his girlfriend, so he sings some love song for his girlfriend to attract his girlfriend. He wants to make it very beautiful, attract her heart, you see. So it's a crude example, but actually we're doing that. We want to attract the loving mercy of Krishna. We want to show Krishna how much we love him, and how much we want to be his devotees, you see. We're calling out to him in a loving voice for his pleasure. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We want to call to Krishna in such a way that he can understand this person wants to be my devotee. He's not just trying to get his rounds over so he can go take a nap. You see? He's actually calling out to me, begging to be engaged in pure devotional service. You see? He's sincerely calling out to me, wanting to be my devotee. You see? So if we call out the name of Krishna in this way, to please Krishna by the quality, the pure, sincere quality of our utterance, and you please Krishna by that utterance, do you think you'll taste some nectar? You're darn right, you'll taste a lot of nectar. In other words, to whatever extent you please Krishna, that extent you will taste the nectar. So that's the secret of how to relish the holy name. Don't try to independently enjoy the name. Try to give pleasure to Krishna by the way that you chant the name. And then, oh, you'll be swimming in an ocean of nectar. Just like that verse says, Sukham Akshayam Ashnute. You'll be tasting unlimited happiness, you see. So in this way, we will try to please Krishna by our every thought, our every word, and indeed our every action. In all times, all places, and all circumstances, you see. Then we will become Krishna conscious. Sometimes people ask, we've heard people ask, are you a full-time devotee or are you a part-time devotee? You know, you're living in the temple where you're full-time. If you're not, you're part-time, right? But you know, I object to that question. Because if someone's a devotee, do they give up being a devotee when they go to their job? Oh, now I'm away from the temple. I can smoke cigarettes, drink some liquor, hug some women, you know. I'm away from the temple. When I go, I'll become a devotee again at the temple, put on my tilak and be a devotee. No. A devotee is a devotee wherever he goes. He's a devotee at the temple. He's a devotee at the home. He's a devotee at work. He's a devotee at business. Wherever he goes, devotee means he's always a devotee. Whether he's a brahmachari living in the temple or he's a householder maintaining a household, devotee means full-time devotee. Yat karoshi yat ashnasi yat jdohosi dadasi yat yat tapasya shikonteya tat kadushva mad arpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. You know, it's so important that we understand the Bhagavad Gita and the scriptures in general from the pure devotee. Because it's unbelievable how much these rascal speculators, commentators can distort the understanding. I was one time visiting with a religion professor at a prestigious university. I was sitting in his office at Rice University in Houston, Texas, many years ago when I was a young brahmachari. I spent 14 years in that wonderful ashram, Brahmachari ashram. So anyway, I asked this professor, I was telling him about Bhagavad Gita as it is. He says, why another edition? I mean, they're all as it is, aren't they? And I said, my dear sir, I will show you the difference between as it is and between these other editions. And he had a whole stack of them on his shelf. I randomly pointed at one. I said, you just bring me that Bhagavad Gita. So he handed me the Bhagavad Gita. I opened to chapter 9, text number 34. Everyone knows that verse. Manmana mama vanbhakto majadji mang namaskuru mam vibhaishashi bhutayavang atmanang matpadayanaha. In the translation, we also know, engage your mind always thinking of me, become my devotee, always offer obeisances unto me. In this way, becoming completely absorbed in me, certainly you will come to me. So this edition appeared to be the same as I started reading the translation. Engage your mind always thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, certainly you will. Well, it really looked like it was the same, but then look what happened at the last word. Certainly you will become me. Did everybody catch the difference? Krishna says, certainly you will come to me. Become my devotee, offer obeisances, worship me, absorb yourself in me, and certainly you will come to me. But this translator said, certainly you will become me. You'll merge into the deity on the altar. You'll become Krishna, you see? I mean, wow, these guys are really off the track, you know? These rascal commentators. What kind of pollution are they introducing in the name of Bhagavad Gita? If they want to present their own philosophy, they should present their own book. And Prabhupada gives this example. Now, he says, if you want to, of course, this is not to encourage marijuana smoking. It's against our principles. It's just an example, understand? Prabhupada says, if you want to smoke marijuana, do it in your own hand. Now, I don't know if in America, that means a lot, because back in the countercultural days, all the hippies were smoking marijuana. And they would get marijuana stains on their fingers. It's these brown stains on your fingernails. Marijuana stains. So when the police come to raid your hippie pad, the hippie's apartment, you don't want to have marijuana stain on your hand, because they'll suspect you as having marijuana in your pocket or something like that. And they'll arrest you for possession of marijuana and put you in prison. So you don't want to, you know, some hippie may think, yeah, I'll be very intelligent. I'll let somebody else hold the marijuana cigarette in his hand and I will smoke. You hold the, they call them joints or reefers. You hold the joint in your hand and I'll smoke from your hand, you see. So Prabhupada said, no, if you want to smoke marijuana, smoke from your own hand. So the point is this, not to smoke marijuana. But the point, because actually it calls death very near. The point is, if you want to present a philosophy, present it in your own name. But I say that by absorbing yourself in God, you'll become God. I say that. Don't say that Krishna says it, you see. If you want to present your own philosophy, do it in your own name. I say this. Don't say that Krishna says it. We'll give you a little credit if you say, I say that by meditating on God you become God. We'll give you a little credit, sir, that at least you're not doing it, saying this in nonsense in the name of Krishna. If you say the name of Krishna, that's a double offense. You understand? It's offensive enough to present Mayavadi philosophy, but to do it in the name of Krishna, that is doubly offensive. It gives a heavier reaction. So we are so much indebted. You have returned already from Vrindavan? Jai. So, it is very much important that we should hear from the lips of the pure devotee. Actually, I remember I was in our Bombay temple, and one of our devotees who was tinged by some philosophy that we now call Ritvik philosophy. He was giving the class. I won't mention his name, but he was giving the class in our Bombay temple, and he said, we should not hear from anybody except from the pure devotee. He should not hear from anybody except for Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, that's what he said. Right? We should not hear from anybody except for Srila Prabhupada. No one else should we hear from. I was a little sleepy that morning. If I had been a little sharp, I would have said, Prabhu, then why should we hear from you? You get off the Vyasasan. If you say we should only hear from Prabhupada, then you get off the Vyasasan. We don't want to hear from you. Because that's your teaching, that we should only hear from Prabhupada. That means, according to you, we should not hear from you. So we can tell our Rithvic friends, if you say we should only hear from Prabhupada, that means we should not hear from you, according to your philosophy. But actually, Prabhupada did engage us in preaching. I was there with Prabhupada in Los Angeles. Prabhupada was sitting on the Vyasasan. There was initiation. It was wonderful. Just imagine being there with Prabhupada, with 300 or 400 devotees, a packed temple room, a wonderful atmosphere, charged with bhakti, the gardenias were there. I mean, it was really incredible. And who gave the lecture? Did Prabhupada? No, he had one of his disciples give the lecture. His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami Maharaj gave the initiation lecture. And Prabhupada often did this. He even engaged his disciples in giving the lectures. So what is this philosophy? We can only hear from Prabhupada. He engaged his disciples in also doing the lectures. And he told one of his sannyasis on the bank, the beach, Venice Beach in Los Angeles, he said, whether I speak or you speak, it is the same. He said, no matter which bite of the sweet ball you bite into, you get the nectar. Whether I speak or you speak, it is the same, Prabhupada said then. So this is called parampara system, you see. The Srila Prabhupada has heard from his spiritual master. We have heard from Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, the one who is now the disciple, he is the next spiritual master. It's stated right there in his books. You see. So we should hear very nicely, as I was explaining the other night, Prabhupada's qualification, as he told us, was that he heard very nicely from his spiritual master. He said, therefore now I can speak very nicely. See, you only become a powerful, empowered preacher who can bring many people to this movement, who can be a part of a vast spiritual revolution that completely turned history upside down, then hear very nicely and you will get that empowerment. It's actually predicted it will happen by none other than Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Saj Janna Durjana Pangu Jadda Anagana Prema Vanyaya Dubaila Jagatera Jana. This Krishna consciousness movement, it is a powerful tsunami of bhakti. Yes. And it will inundate this entire universe, drowning everyone. Not only this planet, but the entire universe will be inundated. Just imagine interplanetary sankirtan. Instead of these little cars, we'll have spaceships. Such things can happen in the future. So how do we become qualified? We have to hear the pure message coming down from the acharyas. You see, that's how we become empowered. Hear very nicely, just as Prabhupada heard. And by that intense, dedicated, sincere hearing, you will become purified and empowered to preach this message in such a way that anybody who hears you preaching will be convinced. Prabhupada sent me a letter. In this letter, he told me in book distribution, he said, if you will simply describe these books in the best descriptive manner, then you can convince anyone, even an atheist, to purchase them. So, Uttama Shloka, you see, that person who's described with choice poetry. We should all become expert in the best, Prabhupada said, in the best descriptive language. So, what is one of the qualities of the Vaishnava? Poet. So, we should all develop the talent, the ability to present Krishna consciousness so beautifully and wonderfully that anybody who hears the philosophy will go, wow, that's incredible. Where can I join? Where can I join? How can I begin this process? That's amazing. You see, that's how we should become expert. So we have to become ourselves completely convinced that there's nothing but the holy name to be had in all the 14 worlds. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur said. So the class usually ends at 9 o'clock sharp. Or there's, it can go a little over time. All right. So what we'll do now is we'll ask for questions, and I need a human hearing aid because I can't hear very well. It's Sri Ram, you were good at them. Sri Ram will hear the question and he'll tell me in my ear. I might be able to pick it up, but just in case I can't, he's my backup. So if there's any questions, go ahead and raise your hand. Be happy to answer any questions you have. Anybody, anywhere in the temple room, in the back, the front, the sides, anywhere. Anybody have a question? Yes.
How do we balance completing our rounds on time with chanting the mantra?
Chanting, I heard it. Chanting, the last word was...
How do we
the last word. Chanting...
Chanting attentively. How do we balance...
Attentively, okay.
Chanting our rounds, yeah. Completing our rounds on time with chanting on attentively.
Well, if you're feeling pressured by time, I recommend... get up early and give yourself an extra time so you don't have to worry about time. Sleep a little less, get up a little earlier so you don't even have to look at the clock when you're chanting your rounds. You can just be completely transcendental to time when you're chanting. Give yourself extra time for your japa. I know when I was in our Atlanta temple in my brahmachari days, I had one brahmachari godbrother, Ramnath Sukha Prabhu. And he was our cook, and he had to work really hard because it was a whole temple of brahmachari book distributors. And I tell you, they ate a lot of prasadam. And he cooked for everybody, and the deities also. He had to do everything, the deity sweets, the deity offerings, and the general prasad. Everything was on his shoulders. So when did he start cooking? Right after Mangalarti. So when are he going to do his rounds nicely? Well, there's no time. He's cooking the whole day. What's he going to do? Just give up his japa? No. He would get up every morning at 2 o'clock in the morning. And he'd be there in like clockwork. You could set your watch by Ramnath Sukha's schedule. Oh, there he is. Look at you, make sure your watch was on time. And he would chant from 2:30 to 4:30 very nicely in the temple room all alone. And then he'd be in transcendental bliss the whole day because He gave himself plenty of time to chant his rounds nicely and do his service. When's he going to sleep? Well, because he didn't get enough sleep at night, what'll he do? Well, everybody went to the Vishadam room. The Brahmachari ashram became very quiet. Normally the Brahmachari ashram is pretty hectic. But during Prashad, the Brahmachari ashram was very, very quiet. So he would, during breakfast Prashadam, there he'd be taking a nap in the Brahmachari ashram to make up for the getting up early, see? So in this way, if you'll just find some way to adjust your schedule so that you have plenty of time to chant your rounds, you don't have to worry about, you know, I got to get them done now. Oh my goodness, I got 20 seconds left to finish this round. You know, give yourself a time. You have the luxury. I don't have to worry about time. I can just relish this process of pleasing Krishna by chanting with love his holy names. That's the best thing. Okay, next question. Everybody's totally satisfied now. Ready to revolutionize your consciousness and revolutionize the whole planet. Are there some more questions? Well, maybe here's a question. Okay.
So Prabhuji, as you said that we have the unlimited bliss from chanting Hare Krishna. At one place, Prabhupada said, after one's mind becomes eased by chanting Hare Krishna, one gradually comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness and then reads books like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the nectar of devotion. In this way, one becomes more and more purified of material contamination. So Prabhupada said that more purification. When we are purified by chanting Hare Krishna, then we read Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, then we come and become more purified. So, how to understand?
What are you saying?
Saying that Prabhupada said that once you start chanting, and after you're purified a bit, after chanting, that's when you read all the books and get purified more. So, how do you understand that?
Ah. Well, Prabhu, the easiest way to understand it is to do it. That is very clear. The fact is, if we start chanting, we taste a lot of nectar, and then we start reading the books, it becomes even sweeter. Why? Because the more you read the books, the deeper it takes you into the name. And the deeper you go into the name, the deeper you go into the books. And the deeper you go, it goes, they feed off each other, you see. And it's a fact. The more you go get Namaras, the more you get Bhagavatam Ras. And the more you get Bhagavatam Ras, you get more, more Namaras means more Bhagavad Ras, more Bhagavad Ras means more Namaras. It just goes, it spirals all the way back. You get so much Ras that you can just pierce through the coverings of the universe. Bhakti Shakti. Yeah. Yeah, nice question. Very nice question. Thank you for the question. Any other questions? There's a half a hand back there. Are you stretching or the? Oh, it's a half a hand. Okay. I think that's our Maharaj back there. There's a half a hand. Oh, okay. All right. Halfway up. There's a hand. You're scratching your eye. Okay. All right, so that's it. I will be giving the Sunday feast lecture today. So,
one more point.
Oh, okay.
Prabhupada is saying about the core of Srimad Bhagavatam. Our Krishna consciousness movement has therefore adopted with chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra for a general masses. When people gradually become purified, they are instructed in the lesson of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Again, Prabhupada writes in the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam verse, our Krishna consciousness movement has therefore adopted the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra for the general masses.
What's that?
One of Prabhupada's purport, he wrote that doing the Sankirtan is for the purification of the general masses.
He purifies the general masses. Okay.
Our Krishna consciousness movement has therefore adopted the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra for the general masses. When people gradually become purified, they are instructed in the lesson of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam.
They become purified, they're instructed in the teachings. By the Sankirtan, they get purified enough to where they can take the instructions. That's a fact. That's the process. In other words, these things, the Kirtan and the books work together. They work as teamwork. The Harinam Sankirtan is there to purify them, so they can read the book and get something out of, get some inspiration to read the book and understand the book. So the more they hear kirtan, the more kirtan is going on, the more the book distribution becomes successful. So it's the same principle. The more Harinam kirtan goes on, the more people will buy the books, and the more people buy the books, the more they'll be attracted to come and join in the Harinam Sankirtan with us. Big, huge, Maha Sankirtan. Just imagine 1 million people in Delhi on the Harinam Sankirtan. Have a Harinam day in Delhi and the whole city. How much is the population here in Delhi? How many million?
1.5 crores.
Just imagine if 1.5 crores of people came out for the Harinam. Yeah. Okay, so another question.
Is it correct to pray for our purity to Krishna?
Is it correct to pray for our purity to Krishna? Well, isn't that what we're doing? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. If you don't pray for your purification, that is incorrect. Because Hare Krishna means I'm praying to Krishna to purify my heart. Please get me out of the service of Maya and engage me in your service. That's purification. So if you're not praying for purification, you are in Maya. We must always pray for purification, 24/7. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, here's a question back here. What's the thing?
He says, you are explaining about the real beauty of Krishna.
Yeah.
The question is, every day we hear about the spiritual beauty of Krishna as well as the material beauty. So even after hearing so much about Krishna, why do we still get trapped in the material attraction?
Yes, even though we have heard so much about Krishna, why is it or how is it that we are still attracted to the material energy? That's the question. The answer is that we are addicted to sense gratification. That's the difficulty. Just like somebody who is a chain smoker, their body is addicted to nicotine. They know it's bad for them. They know it's better not to be a smoker. And they throw away their cigarettes because they want to give it up forever. But then some friend offers them a cigarette and they take it because they're so addicted, they're craving it still. So we've been addicted to material sense gratification for millions and billions of lifetimes. Therefore, we crave it. It's an addiction. So that's why it's difficult in the beginning. This is why it's very, very important that you not only hear about Krishna and understand about Krishna, you have to learn to taste Krishna. Vishayan vinivartante nirahara dehina. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste or the addiction for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher addiction, a higher taste, one becomes fixed up in Krishna consciousness. So right now we are addicted to material sense gratification. Beautiful women, tasty foods, ego gratification, money, 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 sweeter than honey. These are addictions, you see. So now we have to somehow get a new addiction, become addicted to Krishna. And that addiction, once it takes hold of our consciousness, it will overpower the previous addiction. Just as I oftentimes quote one of my favorite verses, by Jamunacharya Albandru of South India.
Yadavadi mama cheta Krishna padarvinde Navanavarasadamanu yatarantuma sit Tadavadi bhattanari sangamesmaryamane Bhavari mukushushtu nishtivanam cha.
Ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental service of Lord Shri Krishna, Radha and Krishna, tasting rat, what am I tasting?
Nava nava rasa,
newer and newer ras, newer and newer taste at every minute. Whenever those past desires, that previous addiction comes once again to torment my mind, my lips curl with this taste and I spit at the thought. So just gotta learn how to spit. Gotta learn how to spit. When those nasty, dirty thoughts from your previous contamination come to interfere with your Krishna consciousness, spit. Not literally, I mean, you've got to keep the temple grounds clean, but, you know, spit within your mind, innocent. I spit out such nonsense, though. That's what you have to do. You have to be like a kshatriya guarding the fortress. When some enemy comes, immediately kill the enemy. Immediately kill, without hesitation. Powerful kshatriya. You have to kill those enemy thoughts with the weapon of Shastra, with the weapon of the holy name, you see. This is what I love about Prabhupada's books. Shastra means astra. These are weapons. If you become learned in Shastra, then when a certain attack comes from Maya, use that Shastra to counteract that attack, you see. So Shastra is very powerful. Everyone should know these verses. Prabhupada wanted everyone to become Bhakti Shastri. Because the more you know these scriptures, you can use them to defeat the attack of Maya within your heart. Not only for preaching to the non-devotees or giving a Bhagavatam class. It's for your own benefit. The more you know this knowledge, you become powerful to repel the attack of Maya. So read these books like anything. Every chance you get, cram these purports into your brain to where you can wake up in the morning with a shloka in your brain. You see? That's how we have to do it. Okay? Brahmachari life is a very good facility for them. So take full advantage of your ashram and study like anything and do your service also. Sometimes we see, well, they engage me in so much service, where's the time for studying? I remember I was in that situation years ago. I was sent to a temple to become the vice president, but before I got there, they decided to make somebody else the vice president. And I showed up, and the cook invited me into the kitchen. He said, here's your spoons, here's your spices, here's your pots, Hari Bol, I'm going to Miami, you're the head cook. And they worked me so hard. Where was the time to study? I mean, my goodness, I had to cook all the offerings, I had to offer all the artis, I had to make the deity sweets. All the devotees went on some kirtan. I was all day, the whole temple, all by myself, doing everything. Answering the phone, going to the door. I hardly had time to go to the bathroom. I mean, it was intense. And where was the time to study? But one thing gave me consolation. There was a lecture tape that I heard of Prabhupada. And he said, one should always be engaged in studying and one should always be engaged in doing service. Now you say, well, how is that possible? I can always be studying and doing service at the same time. Of course, I did do it when I was cooking the burfi. That was my one chance to read during the week. Every week when I made the burfi, I would hold the book in one hand and stir the burfi with the other one. It's the only time I had to study the whole week was when I made the burfi. Of course, at the end, I couldn't study. But, you know, in the beginning, you can do it. The last minute, when it gets close to the end, you got to really watch it carefully. You know, otherwise you're ruining the burfi. But one thing I realized, I had one lecture tape of Prabhupada, and I listened to the front and the back of that tape hundreds of times. And I tell you that, I just studied by hearing during that year of being the head cook. I would hear that lecture again and again and again. The Hyderabad temple opening address. Now, if you haven't heard that lecture, it's such a wonderful lecture. Prabhupada is preaching to the Indians. Of course, in India, the idea is, well, the cleaners, they're the low-class people, you know. You bring in the moochies to do the dirty work, clean the toilets and all that. That's not for high-class people. So Prabhupada said, the temple is the body of Krishna. So whether you're bathing the deity, you're cleaning the temple, it is the same thing. He said, don't think otherwise. I know here you have hired men cleaning the bird stool off the side, but actually a Brahmin can do that also. It's non-different from bathing the deities, Prabhupada said. If I'm cleaning the bird stool off the sidewalk or I'm bathing the deities, it's non-different. Prabhupada said, don't think otherwise. So I learned some very good lessons, even though I didn't have much time to read. And I had another realization about it. When you open the books or you sit down for a lecture or you're giving a lecture, you see, this is the lecture part of the course. And when you're actually doing service, that is the laboratory part of the course. It's not that I'm not a student when I'm doing service. No, that's part of my student activity. To take the knowledge I've been studying and to apply it in the laboratory of devotional service. Can somebody become an expert chemist only by attending the lectures and studying the books? No. To become a qualified chemist, you must also go to the laboratory and do the experiments. When I was a high school kid, this wasn't fifth period physics class. This was fourth period chemistry class. They told us in the lecture that H2O equals water. And then we went to the laboratory and we did it. We combined two parts hydrogen with one part oxygen, and lo and behold, what did I have in my test tube? but water. Wow, this is real, you see. So you have a test tube, Prabhu, it's your consciousness. And these devotional activities that we perform, this is experiment, scientific experiment. If you will take the activities of bhakti that we are engaging in under the direction of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and that's what we're doing. If you study the Goswami's teachings and you see what service Prabhupada has given us, we are actually following the directions of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan in these temple activities and in our preaching activities. So they, by following the directions of these Goswamis coming through the Parampara system, the scientific experiment of doing these activities, what will be the result? You will have the awakening of Krishna Bhakti within your heart. And as that becomes clear, as we read in today's purport, when the water of your consciousness becomes completely clear, then you will see Krishna within. That's it. So in this way, take this process and relish it. There's nothing like this nectar anywhere, Krishna consciousness. Nobody enjoys like this. The devotees are the supreme enjoyers, actually, along with Krishna. We're all the supreme enjoyers. If we give up sense gratification and have only one pleasure, only one thought, that's I must always please Krishna with my every thought, my every word, my every deed, in all times, in all places, in all circumstances, then we enjoy equally with God. Why equally? Prabhupada says we enjoy greater than God. Why does God join the bhakti program? Did you know that? Did you know that God joined the bhakti program? Bhakta, you've heard of bhakta avatar? Lord Chaitanya. He saw that by being the Lord, I'm not getting as much nectar as my devotee, Radharani. So now I will become devotee because I want to get more nectar. I will join the bhakti program. You get more nectar than being God, you see, by being the devotee of God. So we have full facility to enjoy life, greater than any materialist in anywhere in this material world, simply by chanting with pure love, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you very much. Now go out and save the world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.